evening, and welcome to NDV Media's Monday Night in America. I'm your host, Roger Noriega. Of course, I want to give thanks to Robert Summers Potterton III for his composition of our opening theme. Find his website at www.rsp3.com. If you are interested in advertising opportunities, go ahead and email us at roger@ndvmedia.net, and I'm sure we'll go ahead and respond as soon as humanly possible. Ladies and gentlemen, wow, August 13th, 2018. I got to tell you, it's amazing. We've already gotten here. Wow. It's been an amazing year so far. We're not coming near the end, or coming to the end, but maybe to Monday Night in America and NDB Media. We're going to be celebrating our 10th year, opening our 11th. Wow. Our 10th year will be, well, 10 full years, so we're going to begin our 11th year on September 24th. That's just, wow. I never thought I would be doing something for that long, especially on this radio. When, for those of you that know, the attempt at NDB Media was originally Noriega.biz Radio. Yep, Noriega.biz, NDB. And it was really a means for me to communicate with my fellow employees in the far-flung areas of Los Angeles County. As I am an activist, I have been for many years, related to my employment and to many things going on in my universe, in California, Nevada, well, in the United States of America, and dare I say worldwide. Wow, how things have changed. But I, you know what, I'm not going to get into that. I'm feeling a bit melancholy right now, and I feel that I'm going to go over lots of stuff. But no. The State of the Union will be probably September 17th, and then, of course, the anniversary will be the 24th. I don't know why, but I've always done it. I've always reserved the NDB Media State of the Union on the program before, so we'll get to that. But anyway, got some things I want to get off my chest, dare I say. And yes, as hairy as it is, there's stuff I want to get off of it. It's hot. Oh, my goodness, it's hot. But it's only 84 degrees right now in our world headquarters. I'm sure it's hotter in here because there's no air conditioning. But I'm looking to fix it. Wow. I'll tell you. It's hot. But anyway, as the year moves into our 11th year, I want to let you know that we're going to be covering several programs on this program. We're going to be covering probably The Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon. We're going to be covering Star Trek Discovery, as well as the one on Fox. Oh my God! Oh my goodness! Oh, I cannot remember the name of the program now. But the one by Seth MacFarlane. Oh my goodness! I cannot remember the name of the ship right now. I'm unable to remember. But doesn't matter. I know that before the programs return, we're probably going to do a review sometime in October, November, and we're going to have everyone catch up to speed, and we're going to be on air right after Game of Thrones, not on Sunday nights, I don't believe, but we're going to be on Mondays, and we're going to be discussing the Game of Thrones episode on prior. It's going to be a little tough during tax season. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet, but I'm going to see. I'm going to hold out hope that I'm going to be able to swing it, but I expect it to be a bit tough. Forgive me for the background. There is a, I don't know, there's how many fans on? There's two fans. So it might be a lot of ambient noise in the background. So forgive me. Allow me to wet my whistle. I'm going to take a sip of Coca-Cola. And it's not even the cherry Coke. It's the regular Coke. But while we get to that, I want to go back into the past. I announced her on Saturday. She is NDB Media's, dare I say, queen, and here she is again.
Mike, come on!
Mike, what is your deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby!
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Mike!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Betty White, she's our favorite, no doubt about it. but let's get to it. We're going to be going over some stuff in history, breaking news, whatever, but we're going to go back to history today on August 13th. This is the 225th day of the year. There's 140 days remaining. Wow. Did you know, for the fact of the day, that in animal crackers, there are currently 20 distinctive shapes of animal crackers? The bear, the bison, the camel, the cougar, the elephant, the giraffe, the gorilla, the hippopotamus, hyena, jaguar, I had to say that one that way, the kangaroo, or the roo, lion, monkey, rhinoceros, the seal, sheep, the tiger, the wolf, zebra, and the koala. Kind of cool, huh? Today in holidays, did you know that today is Women's Day in Tunisia, and in the Central African Republic, it's Independence Day. Wow, kind of cool. Back in 1521, Spanish conqueror Hernando Cortez captured present-day Mexico City from the Aztec Indians. And that was after a three-month siege. Oh, I take it back. Forces under Hernan Cortez captured... yeah, that was the same thing. Sorry. I don't know why I wanted to repeat that one. Back in 1889, the first coin-operated telephone was patented by William Gray. In 1961, and this will be the main story, so I'm going to jump ahead. In 2004, Hurricane Charley came in on the heels of Tropical Storm Bonnie, and Florida experiences the worst hurricane since 1992's Andrew. Of course, we all know what happened in 2005, but we're not going to get into that right now. Want to welcome everyone in the chat room, everyone listening live and in the archive. Thank you for joining us, of course, in the chat room, in our interactive chat room. Thank you, Tony Singlada, for that one. Go ahead and register. You know, click on the little dialogue space down the bottom. Click on there. Register at blogtalkradio.com. Take on a persona and be someone. And engage us in the interactive chat room. Yeah, a little out of practice, but hey, whatever. Some famous births today. In 1818, Lucy Stone. 1860, Annie Oakley. 1888, John Baird. 1899, Alfred Hitchcock. In 1912, Ben Hogan. 1926, Fidel Castro Ruiz. Also on this day passing, Mickey Mantle in 1995. Julia Child in 2004. Now, in 1961, in what was at the time known as East Germany, Berlin had been divided in four by the winning allies, Russia, United States, Britain, and France. And they divided Berlin into four sectors, the larger being the East Berlin sector, in the entire East Germany. So, that's how they wanted to maintain control of the capital. But too many people were coming across and decided to stop it. The commies did. And forgive me a moment. Sorry. Looks like I want to cough quite a bit, so I ask you to bear with me. This is from history.com. At midnight on this day in 1961, East German soldiers began laying down barbed wire and bricks as a barrier between Soviet-controlled East Berlin, the commies, and the democratic western section of the city, us, the heroes. After World War II, defeated Germany was divided into Soviet, American, British, and French zones of occupation. Gee, oh, is that deja vu? Or as Warp would say, Nipu. Yes, I have one of those memories. The city of Berlin, though technically part of the Soviet zone, was also split, with the Soviets taking the eastern part of the city. Oh, ni boo. Ho, ho, boo. Go, qua. Sorry, I was remembering Klingon, Star Trek 60, the Discovery Country. After a massive Allied airlift in June of 1948 foiled a Soviet attempt to blockade West Berlin, the eastern section was drawn even more tightly into the Soviet fold. Over the next 12 years, from 1948 to 1960, Berlin was cut off from its western counterpart and basically reduced to a Soviet satellite. East Germany saw between 2.5 million and 3 million of its citizens head to West Germany in search of better opportunities. By 1961, some 1,000 East Germans, including many skilled laborers, professionals, and intellectuals, were leaving every day. In August, Walter Ulbricht, the communist leader of East Germany, got the go-ahead from the Soviet premier Nikita Khrushchev to begin the sealing of all access between East and West Berlin. Soldiers began the work over the night of August 12, 13, laying more than 100 miles of barbed wire slightly inside the East Berlin border. The wire was soon replaced by a 6-foot-high, 96-mile-long wall of concrete, complete with guard towers, machine gun posts, and searchlights. East German officers known as the Volkspolizei, or Volpos, patrolled the Berlin Wall day and night. Many Berlin residents on that first morning found themselves suddenly cut off from friends or family in the other half of the city. Led by their mayor, Willy Brandt, West Berliners demonstrated against the wall as Brandt criticized Western democracies, particularly the United States, for failing to take a stand against it. President John F. Kennedy had earlier said publicly that the United States could only really help West Berliners and West Germans, and that any kind of action on behalf of East Germans could only result in failure. The Berlin Wall was one of the most powerful and iconic symbols of the Cold War. In June 1963, Kennedy gave his famous "Ich bin ein Berliner," otherwise "I am a Berliner," or as Wark would say, "Gelingen Sie." Well, that's actually "I am a Klingon," but that's "I am a Klingon" in Klingon. Gelingen Sie. Remember that. Not "I am Klingon," it's Gelingen Sie. Anyway, I don't know why I'm going to Klingon, and you have to forgive me. I speak Klingon, or I am. Anyway, where Kennedy gave his famous "Ich bin ein Berliner" speech in front of the wall, celebrating the city as a symbol of freedom and democracy in its resistance to tyranny and oppression. The height of the wall was raised to 10 feet in 1970 in an effort to stop escape attempts, which at the time came almost daily. From 61 to 89, a total of 5,000 East Germans escaped. Many more tried and failed. High-profile shootings of some would-be defectors only intensified the Western world's hatred of the wall. Finally, in the late 1980s, 1989 to be exact, East Germany, fueled by the decline of the Soviet Union, began to implement a number of liberal reforms. In the late 1980s. On November 9, 1989, masses of East and West Germans alike gathered at the Berlin Wall, began to climb over and dismantle it. As the symbol of Cold War repression was destroyed, East and West Germany became one nation again, signing the formal Treaty of Unification on October 3, 1990. It was unreal. I remember watching that live. It was incredible. Back in 1989. And today is 2018. We do the math. Oh, I don't know why the math won't work. 1989. 29 years ago today. 29 years ago today, the wall went up. No. Sorry. I was having a Nipu flashback. I don't know why it happened in November when the wall came down. That was a major moment. Hey, guys, I want to throw this out. I'm sure you heard of this, but I want to make sure this does make it into the realm of reality. How many times have you been walking in somewhere, and which is all the time, I'm sure, you walk in somewhere and all of a sudden you don't recall why you are walking in? Sometimes someone is there, sometimes they're not. But you just cannot remember for the life of you. And then maybe later on you will remember. But it's amazing as to how often it happens. For me, it happens a lot. And it's not an issue of old-timers or all-timers. It's just I realized, and I was told this by a friend of mine who works for a federal agency, which we cannot name at this moment, and we will neither confirm nor deny its existence, which I just may have done so. But again, officially, I'm not confirming or denying anything. That every time, and I'm going to postulate here for a moment, that every time you walk into a room and you do not recall why, it's because you walked in and there was an alien in there. And the men in black realized that you saw it, whatever happened, and they had to clear your memory with their little flashy thingy. And you don't recall what happened when you walked in. The only thing that you have is, why did you come in there? Because they don't know, the men in black do not know why you are going in. They just know you are going in. and they wiped your memory. Think about that. Since that happens to me all often, hell, my home is Alien Central. Because I'm walking and I'm like, hey, what the hell? And it's super embarrassing when you're walking in the restroom too. What the hell? That's neither here nor there. Think about that. Every time you walk into a new room, building or whatever, and you are unable to recall why, that's because there was an alien there. And the men in black had to keep everything as it should be. But again, I will neither confirm nor deny. Topeka shot a final round 66 to claim his second major championship of the year after winning the U.S. Open in June. Topeka finished at 16 under, two shots ahead of Woods and three ahead of Scott. Way to go, Tiger Woods. He made a run for it, but did not and could not. So what a great, great round of golf over the last 3 days at the U.S. Open. Now, there's been a lot of political things that have been happening over the world. As we know, in Mexico, Mexico's presidential and congressional elections last month were nothing short of a total and unprecedented victory. And thank you to David Kong. For the left, not only did Andrés Manuel López Obrador, commonly known as AMLO, become the first leftist to win the presidency in several decades and the first contender to win with the majority of the votes since the country transitioned to genuine multi-party democracy in the 1990s. They are now in control of both chambers. Of course, Presidente Enrique Peña Nieto, a free, you know, the Party Revolucionario Institucional, won after being kicked after not winning the presidency for 12 years in a row. Calderon was before him, and I believe it was the gentleman that ran Coca-Cola for a short while. I cannot forget his name, and he took on Trump rather derisively. I don't want to say derisively, but I use a lot of foul language. Some people find it funny, but whatever. I swear, damn it, you know, use. Some say creative mind, some say a weak mind. If you are unable to say something, you fill it with a swear word, well, there it is, in and of itself. You had nothing to say but a swear word. There are certain studies that say that if you see, I'm all over the place. It's Roger. Deal with it. Tangent City here. All right? It's like city skylines on steroids, but tangents. It's me. You've got to deal with it. And I think an alien just walked in. I lost my train of thought. Damn it. I mean, the men in black showed up right now. Wow. Oh, man. But my ability to recall men in black, I think that's just general. They wipe the memory. It's funny because I had a flash. And, yeah, I lost my train of thought. No, I didn't lose it again. I took a sip of my Coke. But I'm unable to remember the name of the... Oh, my goodness. He met with Bush, George W., in 2000. I'm unable to remember his name right now. But anyway, he was... I forget which party. I think they were both Bond. But anyway... 3-1 in 2012, and let's see, Obrador lost in 2012, and he also lost in 2006. Was he running in 2000? I don't recall, but anyway, so López Obrador finally broke a long losing streak. He narrowly lost in 2006. Then lost in 2012. Wow, there you go. PRI is just, they were the party of peace and bread. We'll give you bread, we'll give you peace, put us in power. But the corruption, that's the problem. And López Obrador, who is progressive, some would even say radical, in wanting to improve the plight for the poor, leaves most people in the... You know, in the 1%, which is very few in Mexico, quite concerned. And López Obrador is positioned to make many changes. He controls both houses. And this is going to be a big deal. But unlike Hugo Chavez of Venezuela and Rafael Correa, in Ecuador, many people do not see him as a populist threat. And López Obrador has prioritized fighting corruption in a country that's infamous for corruption. He's vowed to increase Social Security pensions, anti-poverty program funding, and scholarships for education. But there may be a disappointment in Mexico regarding LGBTQ rights and abortion. We really don't know what he's going to do with that. Doesn't necessarily look like there's going to be a lot of movement in Mexico. In many ways, Mexico is a fascinating country, rich with so many minerals, and yet the vast majority of Mexicans are poor, rich in talent, music, education, technology, and again, yet so many poor, and in many ways still conservative in nature. Mexico is still a country many would even consider backward. Many would consider it honorable. It is still a male-dominated society where the gentleman or the cowboy, I forget the word, caballero, the gentleman, still runs the show, and the woman is still subservient, even though inroads are being done. But there is still a lot of inherent racism towards the native population, towards minorities in Mexico. I remember not too long ago, seeing images of blackface and of different colored individuals in comic books, and that was in the 1980s. Yeah, that was a long time ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. But things are changing in Mexico. It is a majority a Roman Catholic country, and for that, the church still has significant sway in the country. But it is not the ultimate power, as many Mexicans are becoming, shall we say, they're picking and choosing as if they're becoming cafeteria Catholics. But again, this is not a religious program. It's just a commentary. And Mexico is still not open to the LGBTQ community. And if I'm forgetting initials, letters there, you have to forgive me. I just don't know any better. And I will learn as I go on. But activity that I may be showing by not mentioning the other letters, it's just because I don't know. So I'm sure someone will educate me as I get email from everyone every week. So I don't know what will happen in Mexico, even with a progressive candidate such as Manuel López Obrador. He is a man of the people, but Mexico is still Mexico. And to have dramatic change, I do not have hope that they will, but he will be sworn in on or about December 1st. I'll have to speak to my wife to verify that, but it was a tectonic shift in politics. Wow. It's amazing. But anyway, we have some other notable developments in Czechoslovakia. Looks like there is a government formation. 9 months after elections were held, the Czech Republic center-to-center-left minority government was able to officially take power after winning a confidence vote with the backing of the Communist Party. Guess those pinkos haven't disappeared just yet. Wealthy businessman Andrej Babiš, center-right populist ANO party, A-N-O, had finished in a comfortable first place but had difficulty finding governing partners due to pending fraud charges against Babiš. ANO ultimately formed a minority coalition with the traditional center-left Social Democrats, but needed the votes of the Communist Party to secure its position at the head of government. So after 9 months, the Czech Republic has a government. Now, this one dates back to on or about September 30th. Daily cost for this one. Macedonia. Following the vote in Parliament, the Republic of Macedonia will officially hold a referendum on September 30th on whether to change its name to the Republic of North Macedonia in order to resolve its long-standing naming dispute with Greece so it can finally join the European Union and NATO. This historic deal with Greece still must pass in the Greek parliament, where the radical left Syriza party relies on a coalition with the right-wing nationalist independent Greeks, though only Macedonian voters will have to approve the final agreement. However, there's one other actor that is likely to do what it can to stop Macedonians from approving the name change. The Rodina. Das Vindanya, comrade. and that's Russia. Macedonian officials reported that a Russian oligarch named Ivan Savidis, who has ties to Vladimir Putin and has major business interests in Greece, had paid Macedonians thousands of dollars to instigate violence and destabilize the voting process. Furthermore, Russian hacking is another threat in the region where Putin's regime has been desperate to stop further European integration. Wow. Again, thanks everyone in the chat room. I appreciate the comments. It's great having you guys in there again. I appreciate it. And for those of you that are calling in, actually, first slow down. We have one caller. I know who it is, so you know what you need to do. Go ahead and press 1 on your keypad on your phone or your Skype or whatever, and that way I know you want in. Caller number is 914-338-0314. Wait a minute. 914-338-0314. Oops. Almost blew it. In Mali, the presidential election of the fledgling democracy of Mali will go to an August 12th runoff between the top two finishers in July's first round of voting, but opposition candidates have decried those results as flawed. All right. In Pakistan, Parliament, this goes back to July 25th, Pakistan's recent election saw a breakthrough for the centrist Islamist party, Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf. PTI, against the conservative Pakistan Muslim League N. Yeah, the initials are PML-N. And center-left Pakistan Party, which is the PPP. That's usually when someone has to go much and often. But the alleged intervention of the politically powerful military on behalf of the PTI has cast doubts on the integrity of the vote. The PTI, which has been the third largest party in parliament, surged into first under Pakistan's first-past-the-post electoral system, winning 34% of the seats and 32% of the votes. Meanwhile, the governing PMLN fell to 19% of seats with 24% of the vote. But the PPP held steady at 13% of both seats and votes. Wow. Yeah, okay. Turkey. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan took the final step in solidifying his control of Turkey by winning the country's revamped presidency with 53% of the vote, narrowly avoiding a runoff. Erdogan has led his nation since 2003, having previously served as prime minister and then as president. Last year, Erdogan's party pushed through significant constitutional changes, which also narrowly passed, that gave the presidency expansive powers to govern with little oversight. Those changes are now going into effect. Turkey, which was once known for a strongly secular elite and military that often removed prime ministers if they governed too far outside the established secular ideology, has now been completely recreated by Erdogan. Erdogan has established what's best described as an electoral dictatorship, where a seeming mandate at the ballot box enables him to take whatever steps he wants. There were no widespread allegations of fraud in the election, but Amnesty International repeated that they took place in a climate of fear. The new constitution also reset Erdogan's term limits, which will allow him to run for re-election in 2023 and stay in power until 2028. Of course, given his history and assuming he's still in charge, it seems unlikely that 64-year-old autocrat will simply walk away voluntarily, even a decade from now. Zimbabwe held its first election in decades without Robert Mugabe in power, after a 2017 coup finally drove him from his long grip on power. That is really good news. I'm sure we'll have something on that in the future, but for now, no. We are now entering the second quarter, the second period here on NDB Media. We're going to take a quick minute. Bear with us just a moment.
Hi, this is Playboy Playmate Devin DeVasquez, and I love listening to my guys on NDB Media.
And we love listening to you, Devin DeVasquez. Also, a starring role in the early season of Married with Children. You know her. She's the one that the cast has been credited with saving the program. an amazing, dare I say, wow episode. I was, I think, 20 years old at the time. So, whatever. This is a little bit late. It happened over the weekend. U.S. Rep. Chris Collins, Republican of New York, announced on Twitter he is suspending his reelection campaign days after he was arrested on insider trading charges. Collins said he will serve his remaining months in Congress. Prior to this, he had said, I'm still running, but I guess, oops, they know a lot more than he expected. Of course, it happened on Friday. Officials at SeaTac International Airport said early Saturday that an airline employee conducting an unauthorized takeoff without passengers from the airport, adding on Twitter that the plane crashed in South Puget Sound. He had worked there for, I believe it was 2.5 years, and I believe he was 29 years old. And there are extensive recordings, or actually the entire conversation was recorded, I believe. And I was just sad. Sad what happened. And the family lost the breadwinner. And just sad. But anyway. Also late last week, Monsanto, that big giant, was found guilty. And a jury ordered the chemical giant to pay $289 million in damages to a groundskeeper who caught cancer after using Roundup, one of the world's most popular weed killers. One that here, NDB Media, has used ourselves. So I don't know why I had to say that, but I guess I should. It's a product that we have used. But it's okay. We don't stutter that much. And our thought process is that if we forget something, we think it's Men in Black. Go figure. The Superior Court jury deliberated for 2.5 days before finding that Dwayne Johnson's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was at least partly due to using glyphosate, the primary ingredient in Roundup. Johnson regularly used glyphosate to spray fields while working as a groundskeeper.
Wow.
Today, earlier in the day, at about, just before 9 a.m. Pacific time, the FBI has fired Peter Strzok, an agent who was removed from the Russia probe last year for sending text messages disparaging President Donald Trump. This was reported by Strzok's lawyer on Monday. Eitan Goldman, Strzok's attorney, said FBI Deputy Director David Bowditch ordered the agent's termination on Friday. Goldman said that the deputy director's decision comes after the head of the office that normally handles disciplinary actions decided Strzok should instead face a demotion and a 60-day suspension. Wow. In my employer, the thinking is the most that they're going to give out is 30 days. Anything beyond that, you're gone. I'm not comparing my employer to the Federal Bureau of Investigation or any other form of government. Time to explain the thought process to me. I understood. I understood something. So when I guess the head of personnel or disciplinary or whatever says 60 days, wow, that's crazy. And he should face a demotion. Yeah. I believe Peter Strzok is going to get his job back. It's going to take some time, but he's going to get it back because it was recommended that he should be demoted and 68. That's harsh, but you look at his record, and I'm sure his record, it was determined by the office that, yes, he did what he did, but that's all that he did. You look at his entire career, that's it. For the penalty to be that high, you know that he has a favorable record prior to what happened. Look, we know what he did. We know that he exchanged text messages with an attorney, an FBI attorney. So he was having an affair. I believe that's the story, and I'm going with it. And, yeah. So I do believe he's going to get his job back, but not right away. It's going to take a little while. Oh, well, that was the primary stuff I wanted to go over. There are a few other things. Some tiny, tiny other little things that might be a bit funny. It's been noted that the U.S. will produce almost 12 million barrels of crude oil per day in 2019. You know what that means? That makes this country, the United States of America, the world's top oil producer. Wow. That's according to Energy Information Administration, or Bloomberg.com. And this information is coming to us from The Week. Thank you very much. People who live near areas with high violent crime rates are 25% more likely to suffer from hypertension and 53% more likely to be obese. Wow, I didn't realize I lived in a high crime area. According to a new University of Chicago study, researchers said chronic stress was contributing to these health problems. That's from the Chicago Tribune. The 23 members of the French soccer team, which won the World Cup with the victory over Croatia, include 16 from immigrant families, and mostly are from Africa. Thank you, LA Times. A few weeks ago, large plumes of dust from the Sahara Desert created a haze in the skies of Texas amid an intense heat wave. The dust originating in Chad, thousands of miles west by winds. Wow. And, of course, that came to us from the USA Today. Worker productivity rose by 65% from 1979 to 2013, but 80% of workers had hourly wage increases of just 8.2%, according to a new study by the Oxford Review of Economic Policy. 70% of workers' wages were either flat or fell from 2000 to 2013, the study found. And that comes to us from Axios.com. Probably not the same. There was a recent poll. When asked which president has done the best job in their lifetimes, 44% of Americans named Barack Obama as their first choice or even second choice. And I apologize. 44% of Americans named Barack Obama as their first or second choice, followed by 33% who chose Bill Clinton. Wow. And 32% who listed Ronald Reagan. President Trump came in fourth with 19%, and that's from the Pew Research Center. And it's something that is amazing to political junkies and people such as myself. Call me a junkie and political, and I won't be offended. But it has to be in the same sentence. NATO has largely become a partisan issue, with 64% of Democrats viewing NATO favorably and just 9% having an unfavorable opinion of the organization. Among Trump voters, 33% view NATO favorably, while 54% view it unfavorably. And that's from YouGov. Wow. I thought the hawks were on the Republican side and the doves were on the Democrat side. It's amazing how opinions, beliefs, and stuff change. Based on the 2016 election, you had more military personnel, more military involvement in the Democratic Party than you had in the Republican. What a switch. It's amazing to me. I'm not saying it's good or I'm not saying it's bad. It's just amazing. You know that today's Democrat was a Republican some 50 years ago, and same thing with the Republican? That's crazy. They've reversed beliefs. A lot of beliefs. Not everything, but a lot. Wow. I'm looking at some of the other ones that I have. And a little bit of gossip. She was on the cover of Forbes magazine, but Kylie Jenner is worth an estimated $900 million as per Forbes estimate. According to 20-year-old reality TV star and makeup magnate, on pace to become the youngest self-made billionaire ever. If business holds steady, she'll take that distinction away from Mark Zuckerberg, who made his first billion at 23. Jenner launched Kyle Cosmetics 2 years ago and has sold more than $630 million worth of makeup. Wow. That's a lot of colors. She leveraged her fame as a member of the Kardashian clan by monetizing selfies, modeling her products every day for 110 million Instagram followers, and another 25 million on Twitter. The business operates with just 5 full-time employees, and Jenner owns 100%. Yet many took issue with Forbes calling Jennifer self-made, pointing out she exploited her family's fame. Kim Kardashian West defended her half-sister, saying, "We're all self-made." Okay. I think that's all I'm going to say. You do what you want with it. Some other stuff that I'd like to go over. And I may have made the mistake of going over it last week, so I'll ask you to forgive me. I don't think I did, but we're going to go over it again. And forgive me. It was a good week for reading the Kindle version. Oh, wait, wait. I think I did. Yes, I apologize. So, yeah. Just a few things that are happening. Wow, that only took 42 minutes. Not too bad. But, all right. Got a lot of news in and stuff. And I know we'll have more in the weeks to come. But we're going to be returning to having some guests joining our program. Don't forget to stay tuned to the other programming here on NVB Media. We have a lot of stuff on Tuesday night, on Wednesday night, on Thursday night. Dare I say even a few Fridays. Comics 101 is in the works to return to NVB Media. And we're really looking forward to that. So we shall see. But you know what? I went over almost everything I wanted to go over. So, yeah, I think that's going to be it. The program's going to be a lot shorter than I anticipated it to be. But I'm glad I went through it. Yes, my favorite game right now is City Skylines. I'm playing it. I had a city that got up to like 300,000, but I screwed it up with the mods. My fault. Ah, here we go. Wit and wisdom. You're as good as the best thing you've ever done, director Billy Wilder was quoted in The New Yorker. The two most common elements in the universe are hydrogen and stupidity. Writer Harlan Ellison recently passed. Was quoted in BuzzFeed.com. And with that one, we're going to let it go. The two most common elements in the universe are hydrogen and stupidity. God bless Harlan Ellison. Head on over to NDBmedia.net. You can find us on Twitter, NDBmedia, probably Facebook as well. Drop us a line. We'd love to read them. And if it's good enough, we'll even go ahead and use it on air. So there's a phrase. You might want to cover your ears. This comes to from a radical. I don't know how I showed up on this channel. Well, I'm not me, but I ended up there on YouTube. The Kyle Kulinski Show. And he was mad about someone, and he called the guy or something about something that was said, but he said, hypocritical douche weasel. I just had to get that one in. I stopped. Couldn't believe it. That would be the phrase of the week. Hypocritical douche weasel. That's crazy. I'm Roger Noriega, otherwise known as Palpatine, otherwise known as Dead Tierra, or Dead Dictator, or Dead whatever. I get called a lot of things, both good and bad. I do get the Nazi salute from time to time. I know I shouldn't say that, but I do. People are stupid, and they like to mess around that way, and they give me the salute. Wait a minute, I have a beard. I don't have that little pasty mustache. But whatever. Don't have Adolf anywhere in my name. It's Roger Daniel. But whatever. I imagine if you mess with the letters a la Tom Riddle and Voldemort, I'm sure you'll probably come close or something akin to Adolf if you mess around with my letters. But I'll let you fools do that. In the meantime, as I said, drop us a line. And we'll be reading them on air. So, thanks, guys. Don't forget, Travel Itch Radio is coming up on their 30th or their 300th episode. Wow. And we're going to be celebrating the commencement of our 11th year. That's crazy. All right, guys. That's going to be it. And I think, I think we're going to be out of here. So, take it easy, guys. We'll see you guys on the other side. Hey! Oh, damn. That wasn't right. We have an alert.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Bobo, but I gotta ask you a quick question. Now, when you were born, nay, spawned by the Dark Prince himself, did that rat bastard forget to give you a hug before he sent you along your way? Because you can't just let two good nurses go on account of feeling small and insignificant. And besides, with your money, you ought to be able to keep a little man tucked away in the closet and bring him out whenever you want to knock him around, huh? As you were.